Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head! That's that love that's 3 feet above your ass!
People will come, Ray.
Alright, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Got that right. And it is a new year.
Yes, well, at least a calendar year. Happy New Year. Happy 2019.
That's
May,
right. 2019.
It is 2019 now, right?
Yes, it is. Welcome back.
Well, I wish everyone except for the Los Angeles Dodgers a better baseball year in 2019. But I
already
do
sandbagging.
I do have good news for you, though. We are now closer to opening day than we are to the World Series.
That is absolutely correct. I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul.
Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Drop a comment.
Facebook.
Instagram.
Facebook. West Coast Bias Baseball. Yeah. Podomatic website. iTunes.
What's your New Year's resolution there, Sam? Is it to make a more of a Instagram following for us? Is it to be on Twitter? Are we on Twitter now?
We're not thoroughly modern.
We're not on Twitter.
That's my resolution. We are not on the gram.
I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna figure it out once and for all. I'm not going to.
You're not. I mean, I get a lot of stuff from Twitter. Not being on Twitter already, so I don't feel the need to tweet anything.
Right.
I have a podcast.
Well, yeah, you have a platform.
I can talk directly without a limited number of characters.
Completely penetrate the brains of people through the power of your voice. Yes, sir. I'm not gonna lie. I know how Twitter works, but I've been on there a couple of times pretty much just to complain, and it's usually just I'm just doing @Fox, you know, like, because during like the World Series it's always just baseball.
Joe Buck sucks.
Get rid of him. That's a little too easy. I try to go over his head. I try to go to his boss and just be it's not vulgar or anything. I'm just like, why? Like, what is that? Like, what is this? Like, what have I done? What have I done as a loyal baseball follower for well over 3 decades, to deserve a Joe Buck extension, to deserve a permanent digital strike zone on the TV. Permanent. I mean, okay, on the replay, yeah, give it to me. Or give me the little, you know, picture-in-picture strike zone on the bottom left where it shows the history of pitches at this at-bat. That's great. I don't need the digital strike zone over the plate the entire time, 100% of the time. It's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Starting this new year off by complaining. It is attractive. So I kind of know how Twitter works. But again, I don't really... To me, it just seems like, how do you keep track of everything? It's just all this crap coming through. And
well, I think...
I don't know. It just gives me a headache.
I think it takes a lot of time and energy to actually filter through all that crap to find the gems. And
well, is it worth it, though? Is finding the diamond in a pile of shit worth it? You know?
Like I said, I get a lot of my Twitter stuff without being on Twitter. So someone else has found the Twitter gem and posted it on another platform so that it can be read if you're not on Twitter.
Got it. Now, look, it makes perfect sense for news, right? That's where, like, all breaking news comes from Twitter, but you have some breaking news that pertains to baseball and the West Coast.
I do. Literally breaking news just a few moments ago as we were setting up here to start this podcast. I happened to have the San Francisco Giants website open on my computer here, and there is an announcement that the Giants and Oracle have agreed to a naming rights deal.
Really?
Really? Apparently, the San Francisco Giants and Oracle on Thursday announced that they have signed a 20-year partnership, providing Oracle with the naming rights to the ballpark through 2038.
So bye-bye AT&T.
Bye-bye AT&T Park will be named Oracle Park. The financial terms of the agreement were not still disclosed.
Pending. So we got Oracle Arena, not even 20 miles away. We got
right, which will Oracle be, Park. Which will be closing halfway through this baseball season.
Really?
The last game ever will be played at Oracle Arena as the Golden State Warriors will be moving just down the street to...
just across the bay.
Just across the bay, which will be down the street from what is now known as Oracle Park.
So wait, it's closing? I thought they're gonna get rid of Oracle Arena. They're not gonna have like concerts there.
I don't think they'll be closing it. I think it will still be closing in terms of a sports venue. Will no longer be a sports tenant in that building.
Right.
What City of Oakland chooses to do with that arena is still yet to be determined, because the Oakland A's will still be playing right next to Oracle Arena in the O.co Coliseum.
I think it's just going to be one big weed club.
It's a possibility, you know. It's California.
And or a cat cafe.
Or a cat cafe.
Or a wag hotel.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know. Well, it's kind of bad for Warriors fans. It's good for the rich Warriors fans, though.
Well...
they're happy. They don't have to leave the city anymore. But for the average fan, I guess it's probably been bad for the average fan for the last few years.
The prices have definitely gone up.
Not unlike the San Francisco Giants at AT&T Park.
It's what happens when you win 3 World Series in succession.
Right.
Three NBA championships really close to each other. You know, will tend to have the same effect. Drives ticket prices up because demand is up because everyone wants to see a good team.
So what changes can you envision besides the name Oracle Park?
Well, the only thing that is truly confirmed in terms of changes for the physical space in which the Giants play is the upgrade of the scoreboard.
Ooh.
The scoreboard at... I want to say AT&T Park because of habit. So if I do, forgive me. Oracle Park will feature a brand new 4K resolution scoreboard that will be significantly bigger than the old scoreboard and feature more advanced metrics on the board during the game. Probably more information as a whole during the game. Hopefully that means less ads too, but that remains to be seen.
No, if anything, that means more ads because they got to pay for it.
Well, with this, we don't know how much Oracle is paying for the rights to put their name on the ballpark at this point.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully they don't add any more like amusement rides, like slides or Build-A-Bear workshops. That'd be okay. Just keep that out of the ballpark. All right. Anyway. So the Mariners also are in the same boat, but this happened a couple months ago.
Yeah, T-Mobile, I guess.
T-Mobile Park.
Yeah.
Right. It's no longer Safeco Field.
Yeah, they missed an opportunity for Starbucks, the Starbucks grounds, but, you know, I just...
Starbucks grounds. It's not bad. It's not bad.
The Boeing hangar. I don't know.
Nah.
No.
Seattle's best stadium? Nah, I don't know. No. Boeing hangar, yeah. Lockheed. Yeah, I don't know.
T-Mobile... Okay.
Well, really, it would have had to have been Amazon. I mean, if Jeff Bezos wants a park, just going to buy a park.
It could have been Costco too. They're from the area as well.
Really?
Kirtland, Washington.
Kirtland Park. Oh God. Kirtland Signature Stadium. That will happen within our lifetime. That will happen.
You think
happen.
So? Okay.
Oh yeah. Well, although they do have a 25-year contract, it looks, or partnership. I'm saying
T-Mobile.
Yes.
No. Okay.
Will T-Mobile even be a company in 25 years? We shall see. Just like, not unlike Monster Park Stadium or whatever the hell AT&T used to be called. Monster Cable Park. What was it? Monster Park?
No, I think you're thinking...
Bank One Ballpark.
Bank One
Ballpark. It was Monster Stadium for like a year, wasn't it?
You're thinking of Candlestick Park, was Monster.
Oh, that was Monster.
No, no, it was Pac Bell Park to begin with, and then it was SBC Park for a short time, and then AT&T.
That's right. Wow, a lot can happen in 10 years, because that was just, I mean, since I've been here, I've seen it change 3 times, and I've only been here about 14 years. So,
well, I think this is the 4th name change of that park in its 20 years in existence.
Why don't they just call it Barry Bonds Park?
Well, it is the house that Bonds built in many ways.
Well, it is, because otherwise they would have been in Florida, right? That's
well, I don't know. It's not necessary
if they didn't get Bonds.
No, Bonds came after.
But they had, like, they made the agreement back in, like, the mid-90s to build a new stadium, right? Along with acquiring Bonds, and that was kind of a stipulation.
Well, it was to the
stay in San Francisco.
We're talking about 1993. The Giants almost moved to St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oof.
As the old ownership, Bob Lurie, wanted to sell the team, and the only way that he was looking like was going to be able to do it was to actually have the team be moved out of San Francisco.
How do you sleep at night?
Yeah, it was really rough. In my formative years, I was in high school during this time, and
battled with depression and what ifs. And
the new ownership, Peter McGowan and his ownership group came in and bought the team at the 11th hour, kept the team in San Francisco with a promise to build a new stadium so they would not have to stay in Candlestick. And then their first move was to sign Barry Bonds to, at the time, a record deal of, I think it was like $40 million.
Right.
For a number of years, and so they stayed in San Francisco and were able to build the ballpark and have it open by the year 2000 season.
And the rest is history.
The rest is, as they say, absolutely.
So it makes sense. You see that a lot. A lot of times teams get a new stadium, and they start trying to get players to build that stadium up, right?
Right.
So, brings a good question to the hot ticket items of the postseason and that hot stove right now, Mr. Machado and Mr. Harper.
Yes, the two mystery guests of the hot stove.
I think it seems like there's more of a mystery with Machado, because Harper is very polarizing. I mean, I guess they both are. But
they're both pretty polarizing players.
At this point, it really just seems like he's just going to be a National. Do you see him going anywhere else?
No, not necessarily. But, I mean, anything is certainly possible. But there hasn't been a whole lot of rumors swirling around Harper like there has with Machado. I just saw something the other day said that the Phillies were going to make a pitch to Harper. I don't know if that means that they're going to be signing Machado or not, because they are also one of the two teams that are rumored to be heavy in the Machado sweepstakes. The other being the White Sox.
Right. You see that now, and this makes a lot of sense because, well, they just acquired his brother-in-law, Yonder Alonso, and his old friend, one of his oldest friends and off-season workout partner, John Jay. Actually, the three of them are a bit of a, you know, kind of cohorts and all trained together and are all from Miami and, you know, basically are best friends. Three best friends that anybody's ever had, right?
Right.
So this is some sort of intriguing, you know, invitation to Manny. Yeah. Say, hey,
come to the South Side.
Yeah, exactly. Come to the South Side. It's still Chicago, although it is the South Side. But, you know, we can make a dynasty here. We can, I mean, not with those guys necessarily, although Yonder's really good. John Jay was probably more of just like a token piece, but, you know, it's not a bad idea. You still got Abreu, who's very young, very good. You know, they obviously don't have the greatest pitchers in the world, but they do have a lot of young prospects. And it, but the weird thing though, the thing that the only thing that's sort of that seems like it might not happen to me is that the White Sox historically don't spend money, like ever. In fact, the most money they've ever spent, and I had to look this up because I didn't believe it. It sounds insane, but the largest contract the White Sox had ever given was to Jose Abreu for $68 million. The largest contract in the history of the White Sox.
So maybe this is that's the start of the White Sox starting down a new path, a new pattern to be able to compete in a large market with a very large, very popular team.
It's interesting.
And greater baseball overall.
When I first heard the White Sox, I'm like, that's stupid. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, you told me that last night. Yeah. You said, there's no way. There's no way the White Sox are getting Machado.
but that's before I found out about the John Jay deal.
Yeah. And, I get that, sure.
And so, I mean, which isn't to say, like, you know, other teams have tried to do that before. You see, like in the NBA especially, too, you see that, we got your buddies. No, it doesn't work. But it could work because Manny, I think he's used to being in a smallish market, you know, in Baltimore, and being a big fish in a small pond. And
sure,
to have that sort of the lack of scrutiny, at least for your first couple of years, while the team builds around you. And you're the veteran, even though you're only 25, 26. That's kind of cool, man.
Philly fans are pretty rough.
Well, yeah. No, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It could be... It seems like it's kind of cool, and I would like to see that because it would also make the American League Central
more interesting. Awesome.
Yeah, it would make it a lot more interesting, especially since the Twins now have Nelson Cruz. And, hey, again, Twins have a lot of great hitters on their lineup, a lot of young talent, and they just need a break. They just need the Indians to not be so great. And the Indians are hurting for relievers. And if somehow Kluber gets traded, which –
it's looking less and less likely, but who knows?
Especially since the Central's getting better. I think they're gonna have to stick to their guns, But I don't know. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
And in fact, I almost would love to see Manny as a White Sox now. I made like a full 180 since last night. I don't know what happened, but
Right. Well, I mean, you found out more information.
I guess that's what it was. Yeah. But it would be nice to see a division that isn't completely sewn up, in August, like the American League Central is the worst division in baseball. Plus the I don't know. I think it's great. I think it's not a bad idea.
So how come Harper and Machado, two, yes, polarizing, but ultimately very good players, how come they're not signed yet?
Well, it's, because they both want 10 years or 8 to 10 years, right? And
that's a long time.
On the surface, it does seem like a long time, especially since we've seen some bonehead moves with A-Rod, of course, and his second big $200 million contract.
And Albert Pujols Albatross, who
of course
can't really walk, but he can still mash it. But
Robinson Cano with the Mariners, again. And then you even see some things, but, they're not all terrible, right? Because you look at Joey Votto, and sure, he's not really flexible in that role, and that team hasn't gotten much better. But Joey Votto has stayed incredibly good. And had they got Joey Votto from age 25 to 35 or 26 to 35, which essentially is what this would be, nobody would bat an eye at a 10-year contract. And that's the whole thing here. All these guys that we're talking about, their 10-year contracts end when they're over 40 years old. Manny Machado,
which is definitely
Bryce Harper
long.
Get a 10-year contract. They're going to be in their 35-year season when they're and that's – I mean, I don't see why that should be an issue, and I don't see why there's not as many clubs in the hunt for it. It seems like there's only a handful, maybe only two.
We're also talking about four bills. I mean, $400 million is what they're asking.
No, they need to get that $400 million figure out of their heads. It's just not going to happen. I know they're all trying to compare themselves to Mike Stanton, whatever, but, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. $400 million. But again, it's not ridiculous when you consider the fact that, per year, that's not that bad, especially if these guys are giving you a 6-8 war every single year. Now, Machado, I think, has proven himself a little bit more consistent Harper, if it was the 2015 Harper, hell yeah, yeah, why not give him 380, 400, or 350 with incentive or something over 10 years? Harper's a lot more streaky. I think it's a lot safer for Machado. Plus, Machado is a little bit more versatile, playing shortstop when he can play third base. Obviously, he's one of the best third basemen in the game. So it doesn't seem as crazy to me as it initially seemed when I hear about 10-year contracts. Because, you know, a week ago, a month ago, we were saying, well, I don't think we'll ever see another 10-year contract in the history or in the future of baseball, just because so many other teams have gotten boned. But
unless something happens in their mid-20s, with free agency in general.
Yeah, it's a different story. So maybe for shame on all these teams who aren't actively
pursuing
because what the hell? Like, why else? Like, two of the best free agents we've seen in a long time, are out there right now. And, you know, it's kind of like we saw with JD. Like, why weren't the Diamondbacks going crazy to get JD, to keep JD last year? I mean, he's arguably the best DH in the game.
And they probably would have had a much different season had they managed to hold on to JD.
Oh, my God. He would have given them 6-7 more wins. I mean, I know he has to play defense there, but still. I mean, the guy's insane, you know? I don't know. Hell, the Dodgers even could have made a play for him last year. I mean, so many teams could have and should have. And maybe, so we saw how that happened, how that worked out last year. We saw so many guys go into spring training without a team.
Right.
That they had to actually make a camp for
the
dudes without
players.
Teams. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to see that this year, because we've already seen a lot of guys get picked up, a lot of pitchers.
Yeah, there's been a lot of
catchers.
There's been a lot of trades going on.
There's been a lot of trades, exactly, because I think teams don't want to miss out on that again. Now, with Harper and Machado, I think, you know, Harper thinks he's better than Machado, and he thinks he deserves more money. Now, whether he does or not, I think just as a whole player, you have to look at defense and offense, and no, he doesn't. But there is some sort of star quality stigma attached to Harper, where he seems more valuable, I guess, and he's also not as much sort of a dick as Machado is, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe playing in a bigger market.
I guess, but
and
you know,
pretty
but, so,
similar. It's pretty similar
yeah,
market.
Yeah, pretty similar market. But I think they're gonna have to wait for him to choose, he's gonna wait for Machado to go, and then he's gonna go. You know, I don't think we're gonna see it until Machado does it. But Machado's saying he's gonna make a decision by the end of January, right? So a couple weeks, we'll see.
No, yeah.
By the time this episode comes out, Manny Machado might be a White Sox. But who are some other teams that could use Machado?
Well, the Phillies are definitely interested.
So they would maybe, I mean, like, what would they do, though? Would they maybe put Michael Franco on the trading block then if they get Machado, put him at third kind of thing? And then I guess, there's another third baseman out there. Because really, it's Machado and Mike Moustakas right now, right? Brian Dozier just got picked up by the Nationals. I mean, he's not a third baseman, but he's definitely a good utility and a strong second baseman. But I don't know. Phillies are looking pretty good, man. Phillies looking pretty good, and they're gonna have to compete as well because St. Louis is looking excellent as well.
Yeah.
But how about the Texas Rangers? How about a huge curveball here, right?
That would be a curveball.
Texas Rangers lost Adrian Beltre. Okay.
Right.
They're getting a new stadium next year.
The Rangers are getting a new stadium next year.
Yeah.
So the Bar Park in Arlington is not that old.
Well, it's gone. I think they're gonna have football there. Gone. New stadium. So you lose one of your biggest stars, probably your best third baseman of all time in your franchise. Now you got this guy who's a stud. He can play another 10 years easily at a high quality level. You're getting a new park, new fans. Well, not new fans, but you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's probably not gonna happen. They don't really have the money for that, but maybe they do. You know. Maybe the extra revenue, they can figure out a way to pay for it later on. Or how about San Diego Padres, right? They blew a big load on Hosmer.
Right.
You know, they brought those fences in. They're trying to make a name for themselves, especially since the Giants aren't really making many moves, and the Diamondbacks are really hurting. Rockies are good. Dodgers are good. It's not out of the question these are long shots, obviously. These are like, you know, mystery teams outside... just outside the realm of possibility. But it makes sense, you know. I think Manny Machado in Texas, I don't know.
It's possible, but they're not been named. I get your point.
Right.
Definitely
mystery
definitely team. Makes some
mystery
sense.
Team. Yeah. I don't know. Spitball.
We're just you know, rumor mill here. That's all we can really do sometimes.
Exactly. And I'm it's at this point I'm getting kind of tired of just all this Machado and Harper talk, you know. But we were talking about Joey Votto just earlier about how
his
anybody would love to have that guy on their team.
Anyone would definitely love to have their
team. And Joey Votto is a guy who, you know, he's just, all he does is mash, right?
He does. He is an excellent hitter. Consistent.
Yes. Consistent masher. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that's like Adam Dunn or even Ricky Henderson. Like, they just have crazy stat lines. Like,
yeah.
They have some weird streaks. But Joey Votto, you brought this to my attention recently, and I didn't understand how crazy.
I found this the stat that Joey Votto has seen 27,668 pitches, over 6,764 career plate appearances.
Right,
it's a nice long career.
Yeah, yeah, 12-year career. Yeah,
he has never popped out to the catcher, pitcher, or first baseman.
What? Wait, what are you talking about?
He has nearly 7,000 at bats. He has not ever popped out to the catcher, pitcher, or first baseman positions. Now, how is that possible?
It's not possible.
I really don't know. But
unless you're an amazing hitter, which of course we all know he is. But Jesus,
and you know, talk about a Twitter gem. And checking the source of this this stat, this seemingly unbelievable stat, someone had broken down Joey Votto's pop ups by year. So Joey Votto's pop-ups by year, starting in 2010, 0, 1.
Wait. You mean just pop-ups in general?
Pop-ups in general. Pop-ups 0. In general. In the 2010 season, 0.
Okay.
2011, 1, 1, 1, 2, 0, 1, 0. So for those of you playing at home, of course, since 2010, Votto has popped up 7 times with the same amount of plate appearances the Major League Baseball average player would have popped it up 127 times.
Jesus Christ. Dude, that doesn't even make sense.
This guy gets solid wood every time he swings the bat.
Got a lot of wood. Got a lot of wood. That is outrageous.
I mean, it's to only pop it up 7 times.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, this is from Jeremy Frank at MLB Random Stats. So I mean, it's the official MLB. Yeah, this is crazy, man. This is almost impossible to believe.
So it's not that. I mean, he hasn't. How does he not pop out to the catcher, pitcher, or first baseman? Well, he only popped it up 7 times.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is certainly...
That sounds about right when you hear the total. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I always knew he was good. And he's one of my favorite players to watch also. Yeah. You know,
well, he's a phenomenal hitter. He doesn't pop up. Pop-ups,
Jesus.
That's a gift out for any defense.
Exactly. Yeah, he does not give any gifts. Hmm. He is like Krampus, that man. He is unbelievable. Well, there you go, Joey. Rats off to you. Yeah, hope you get. I mean, he's already getting a little long in the tooth, but he's still a .312 career batting average. You know, only 12 seasons. He only has 1,685 hits though, because you know he started a little bit later in his career. So I'd like to see him at least get to 2,000. I'm sure he will by the end of his career. But,
yeah. You know, he seems like one of those
guys. It's like a shoe-in 3,000 guy. You know, but you know what are you gonna do? It's all right. That's what happens. Keon Broxton got traded to the Mets from the Brewers. Not that big of a deal. But we got Keon out there listening. Big fan. I know it's spelled,
yeah,
it's not
we,
spelled
we,
the right
we
way.
We can tell.
It's all right. But so there was a little bit of interesting, some murmurs out there. Bumgarner, Brewers, Blockbuster trade.
Well, it would have to be some blockbuster trade. I, you know, like we've talked about before on this podcast, you know, what it would be to, you know, see Bumgarner get traded
right.
from the Giants. And, you know, again, if it happens, it happens. But, you know, you're talking about, like, ultimately the face of the franchise right now and arguably one of the best pitchers in the game. And,
you know, well, right. But he is definitely on, you know, the apex of his career in the sense that,
that
he's not getting any younger.
I wouldn't argue with you with that.
And Milwaukee needs starting pitching.
Yes, they do. And
Jimmy Nelson, we don't still really know what's going to happen with him this coming year. And sure, their bullpen's the best in the game, but
yeah, another starting pitcher would have made a big difference with them the Dodgers.
Oh yeah.
They ran into a little bit of trouble with their starters.
There might be one issue there though, and that's it's probably not that big of an issue, but that's that. Of course, yesterday, Yasmani Grandal assigned to be the everyday catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. Now,
right.
Is there bad blood between Grandal and Bumgarner? Probably not.
Right? No, the bad blood was with Puig.
Right.
And Puig,
but it's still a man who's worn blue for the last 5 years in Grandal.
Well, but if you're wearing the same colors, all those right. Issues seem to fade away.
That's true.
I mean, unless, you know, you count the story that Will Clark told about his experience meeting Nolan Ryan in the Texas clubhouse once he was a Ranger, no longer a Giant. And that was that.
Don't keep me waiting.
Nolan Ryan basically gave him the cold shoulder. Didn't talk to him at all.
Well, yeah, he's hardly icing his shoulder. Give him a break. He's got a cold shoulder.
Hardly even acknowledging him. Because, of course, Will Clark's first swing of his major league career was off of Nolan Ryan, and it went over the center field wall at the Astrodome.
That's not something you forget or forgive.
No, but
especially if you're Nolan Ryan.
But they're in the same clubhouse wearing friendly colors, still right. not even acknowledgement of like, hey, how you doing? Just total.
Big text, bro. That's a big sumbitch. I ain't gonna mess with Nolan.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, it's on closer inspection, though, this Bumgarner trade. Now, Jean-Paul Morosi reports that the Brewers and Giants have had, quote, much communication this offseason regarding a Bumgarner trade. Now, San Francisco is trying and desperately, let's say, reeling and clinging to be a contender and maybe even have like a rebuild team. Right now, they do have the new president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, and we were all expecting some big moves, right? But maybe we're not going to see any offseason moves because if Bumgarner gets traded, chances are it's going to be a mid-season thing.
Giants will see how it's going to.
They'll see how he's going to start. They'll see how he's doing. If not much is brewing in the team as a whole, then they'll probably or maybe start looking at options. But it's not a bad idea. You know, when you think about, you know, it's so the Brewers have had a couple trades like this that have sort of come to mind, which is when they got Travis Shaw as a part of a package in which the club, in which they sent Tyler Thornburg. Wow, I can't talk today to the Red Sox in 2016, and of course last season when they got Christian Yelich from the Marlins in exchange for four prospects. Now the Brewers seem to be pretty good at making deals like this, you know, so it wouldn't be out of the question. And Madison Bumgarner isn't an old man by any means, so they would still get a lot of mileage out of him, you know. And the Giants could potentially get, you know, somebody that could really help them and start rebuilding that team because that's how they won in 2010, right? It was some scrappy dudes. They were all kind of young, but they were all a team and they all played really well together, right? So that's kind of maybe what they need instead of clinging to straws and trying to recreate what happened 5-6 years ago with more or less this kind of a shell of the same team.
Right. And an older team.
Maybe I'm grasping at straws here. I don't know. But it seems like It's not a bad idea.
In the grand scheme of things, no, it's not a bad idea in terms of a pure baseball decision. Where the trickiness comes in is just the popularity of the player in question. And the fact that attendance was definitely down at what was AT&T Park last year. It was visible sitting in the stands most games that I was there. They didn't really sell out the way that they have. And you trade away one of the most popular players.
Well, a lot of that had to do with the fact that he only played like half a season the year before that, and the Giants lost 99 games. So coming into this last season,
and
you know, it's
injured with a broken hand to start the season.
Right.
But you know, if he starts this year healthy, I think, trading Bumgarner, pure baseball, not a bad idea. Personally, I would say it would make more sense to have him start the year as a Giant and potentially trade him mid-season should it be totally clear that the Giants will not be making the postseason. Get some value for him at that point.
Right, and exactly. And the Brewers may or may not be in a playoff push as well, so you know, that it would make sense. And of course, we both know the Giants will not be making a playoff push this coming season. So, you know, might as well just cut the chat.
We can't make that prediction at all.
We can't?
No. Not with 100% certainty.
Well, that also, of course, brings us to that Grandal deal. So the Brewers land Yasmani Grandal on a one-year deal. Reportedly 18 mil, just over 18 mil, maybe 18 and a quarter mil, which is just above the reported $17.9 million qualifying offer from the Dodgers that Grandal declined after the World Series in order to enter free agency. But, you know, it seems like maybe he and the Marlins to an extent with JT Realmuto, misjudged
it.
Maybe misjudged the market right now for catchers. When we saw the Angels agree to a deal with Lucroy, we saw Wilson Ramos get 19 mil deal from the Mets. Because the Mets offered Grandal reportedly a 4-year $60 million deal, and he said no to that.
Wow.
Now, it's like, you know, I know you're the best power-hitting catcher in the game, Grandal, or at least maybe goes back and forth number one, number two each year. He's going to hit 20 home runs. He hit 25 last year, you know. Switch-hitting catcher as well, and also has the best frame rate as a catcher in the game. So, defensively sound, last postseason notwithstanding, obviously. It seems a little crazy to turn down a 60 mil, 40-year deal.
That's the case. He was just looking for just like at the 1-year numbers. That is only 15. I say only
right.
15 million a year, which is less than what the Dodgers offered him. But there's some security there with a four year contract.
Exactly.
So he's gonna she's making 18, a little bit over 18 million with the Brewers. He has to do this all over again next year.
Right.
It
doesn't seem that smart, especially, I don't know.
If he doesn't have a good year, I mean, albeit Miller Park is a lot easier to hit than is Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty good there.
Or even Citi Field.
Exactly. So, 100%. Now, I agree. You know, I wouldn't want to play in New York either, but there was reports that Grandal was asking for 5 years at 70 mil. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, I'm sure the Marlins are probably trying to, or JT is probably trying to, or hoping he'll get something similar to that too. But I don't know now, because it seems like, well, now that Grandal's gone, we'll probably see JT go to a team quite soon.
Now,
Could he be in blue? That'd be nice.
Well, the
Dodgers need a catcher now. They're going to start Austin Barnes to start the year. That's not a pretty prospect. And they got rid of Grant Farmer, right? It's part of that Reds deal.
Do the Dodgers have a GM yet?
No.
So who's making these decisions? Do you know?
Magic, baby. Magic Johnson all day. He's sitting at all the meetings right now. All right. But, you know,
he's not watching
Dodgers...
LeBron down in the Lakers uniform.
Yeah, no, I'd rather. Yeah, not necessary. But JT would be nice in a Dodger. Plus, the Dodgers need a good right-hander. You know, the Dodgers have a good amount of power lefties, and, you know, JT's a great right-hander, but they'd be so nice to have that hard-hitting catcher again from the right side of the plate.
Who else is in the market for a new catcher?
Well, that's the thing. The Angels were, the Mets were, but now they're not. The Brewers were, now they're not. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems like they maybe misjudged the market a bit. So we'll see now, because now that Grandal's gone, you know, JT's going to have to make a choice. So the clubs aren't going to have to pay him exactly what he wants necessarily, you know, even though he is the best out there now, you know. I don't know. Real Muto to the Dodgers. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Why not, you know?
Bryce Harper's new teammate.
Oh, God, nah. Harper's staying in, he's staying in Washington. All right, you heard it here first. Shelby Miller with the Rangers. See, the Rangers are making a few moves. I'll get with Shelby Miller, a guy who had an ERA over 10 last year. But still, a one-year deal. Looks like, I think it's $2 million plus another $3 million in incentives. Yeah, he was terrible last year. You know, 0-4, 10.69 ERA in four starts. One relief appearance for the D-backs, you know, the season after returning from Tommy John surgery. But supposedly, his fastball is back up to 95-96. And if that's the case, then he can be, you know, the Shelby Miller of old, the when he went 15-9 with a 306 ERA, right? Just, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. When his fastball is on, his curveball is pretty disgusting. So he can do some damage. Now, I wouldn't hold my breath for fantasy purposes, but we'll see how spring training goes. You know, that could be a nice little $2 million, $3 million addition for the Rangers right there, too. You know, I think people are a little bit afraid of him, and rightfully so, but, you know, it's not too bad. I'd rather take him over Matt Harvey, that's for sure. So, you know, maybe some teams are holding off because, well, it's a big chunk of change, but also because Mike Trout is going to be in the market in 2 years. They all just saving their money for the big bass,
for the big fish,
for the big fish. Yeah, the big trout, I guess. Yeah.
I suppose, but that's a possibility, but we're talking about, that's 2 years away. You can sign someone for 1-2 years and then not have that cap space again.
It's true. And anything can happen to Trout in the next 2 years. But, hey, you know, anyway. Rangers are also talking about maybe picking up Josh Harrison, you know, to fill up their infield.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, get Josh Harrison in, get Manny in there. Hey, you know.
Rangers on the move.
New park. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's not out of the question. But that brings us to our Ignoble Award of the Week.
Had a little bit of a hard time finding one, but I think we just had news in the last couple of days concerning a West Coast team. The Oakland A's drafted a player by the name of, Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, yeah.
Kyler Murray decided to stay in school one more year, agreeing to play for the A's and have one more year of college football, and end up winning the Heisman Trophy as a quarterback, and has now declared himself in the upcoming NFL draft.
Right. The A's signed Murray for $4.66 million, with part of the agreement being that Murray would join the A's for spring training after playing one last college season at Oklahoma. Of course, he took Oklahoma to the playoffs. He wins the Heisman Trophy. Now things aren't as cut and dry as they were. Murray was the number 9 overall draft pick by the A's last year. And Scott Boras, of course, who his agent, and Murray said, both reiterated several times that that Murray would honor his MLB commitment. But his Heisman Trophy season has kind of put a wrench in that whole thing. So he thought he was going to be a dual sport player. Now, you're not going to be a dual sport player if you're trying to be a QB.
It's certainly not a QB drafted in the top 10.
Right. Well, the draft hasn't happened yet, right?
No, but it hasn't. He probably will, though.
Yeah,
he's currently the Heisman Trophy winner. He is proven himself to be a very good college quarterback. Obviously, he's a phenomenal athlete, already being drafted in the top 10 of the baseball draft.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to pick him up? And, of course, he can make a lot more money a lot faster in the NFL than in the MLB. Well, yeah. Generally, a top 10 draft pick in the NFL will get a huge signing bonus in the double-digit millions. And
your career, as a QB, your career is a lot longer in the NFL because they don't play by the same rules that grown men used to play by just a few years ago. You're right.
And I mean, if he's drafted, you know, in the lower half of the first 32 picks, he may not make as much and may consider not playing football and just sticking with a baseball career.
It is true. There are a lot of levels in the baseball to get to the majors.
I mean, and it's not unprecedented that a player would be drafted in the NFL and refuse to play for the team that drafted them.
That's true. If he does decide not to play baseball, he'll have to pay back his signing bonus. The A's would not receive a compensation pick in this June's MLB draft, despite losing him to the NFL. They would, however, they would retain his professional baseball rights should he sign with an NFL team but want to play professional baseball at a later date. So they still have control over him. But, I guess nowadays football is more popular on the TV screens and the hearts and minds of the youth out there.
There's a lot more money. There's a lot more eyeballs on NFL games.
And it used to be the QB was one of the most targeted positions, one of the hardest positions to play. But now it's basically flag football out there. They can't even get hit. It's so lame. It's ridiculous.
So without getting into a big rant about that, it still is a difficult position to play.
Boring NFL. All right. Stick to baseball. Tyler, all right, you're not going to be Pat Mahomes. Watch, he's going to be better than Pat Mahomes.
You never know.
I'm going to get hit up on Twitter. I'm going to be like, hey, and they're going to pull this up. It's all right. I still think you should play baseball. You have a longer career. And hey,
yeah, potentially,
Oakland A's
yeah.
are doing pretty good right now. Oh, well, it's okay. It's all right, Kyler. It's not that ignoble. I get it, but.
Hey, well, it could also be shared with the A's for, agreeing to let him play that final year at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if they would have said, no, we'd rather not have you play football, why you think? But
it's pretty messed up. No, you can't go to college.
Well, you wouldn't said no to the school, but to play college football.
Right. But, I mean, you know, it's like telling a three-year-old horse not to run. Yeah, it's, you know.
I mean, reportedly, Billy Beane said that he was okay with him playing his final year at school. But now, you know, looking back, he might have
I don't think they knew he was going to destroy it.
One of those things that's hard to predict. But
what do you want?
I don't know, man. It's tough. Billy Beane, he always seems to figure it out, but I guess maybe not this time. I don't know. There's no more room left in this world for dual sport athletes, especially if you're going to try to be the playmaker. You know, if you want to be a safety like Deion Sanders or something, sure. But
running back like
even running back nowadays, like those guys can't walk, you know, for days after they play. You know, it's pretty insane. Football's brutal on the body. Again, unless you're the QB, then you have just like this magic bubble around you nowadays. So it's okay. You can't land on the quarterback anymore. It's just, I can't even, it's, okay. Luckily, this is not a football podcast.
Yes, and we're yet to conceive of full contact baseball, but.
Is that coming? What about basketball?
Basketball, I don't know. You have to ask Matt Stone and Trey Parker about that.
I put that,
that one,
on. It's on Netflix.
It's pretty funny. I watched it a couple weeks ago, too, yeah.
It's such a window back in time, 1998 or whenever that movie came out. And it's so crass and it's so ridiculous, but man, they don't really make them like that anymore.
No. But those two have a unique imagination anyway.
Very, very unique. Very unique. It seems fun. I remember we used to play that. Yeah, I'd play. Yeah, because you grew up in the burbs. Most people have like a basketball hoop, and man.
Or at least short walk to one.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? I did see this alternative sport. It's bike polo. Have you seen this?
No.
It's like polo.
Bicycles?
Sure, yeah, but on bicycles. Yeah, exactly. Looks pretty fun, actually. I'm not very good on a bike, though. So.
Well.
Maybe a trike. Maybe trike polo I can do.
Big wheel. Big wheeling out there.
Do they still do that here in San Francisco on Easter Sunday down Lombard Street?
Yeah. We have a coworker who does it.
Really?
Yeah.
I went to that once. It was the most insane.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
See people just breaking fingers left and right. Yeah. They're going down at like
road rash.
It's crazy.
This is one of the steepest and crookedest streets in San Francisco.
For those of you that don't live in the Bay Area, so on every Easter Sunday on Lombard Street, which is this ridiculously windy street that goes down one of the nicest neighborhoods in the city. It's all like cobblestone or brick too. It's not even fully paved.
This isn't down the famous one. This isn't down Lombard Street.
Yeah,
it's in a different neighborhood.
So they don't do it anymore.
No, they do it, but it's not on Lombard Street.
What do you mean?
Never has been.
Yeah, it was. It used to be. I was there. It was crazy.
It was Lombard Street.
Where's the one you're talking about?
In the Potrero neighborhood.
Oh, so yeah, so they must have moved it because all the rich people were complaining. Because, dude, it was insane. It was crazy.
And it still is, but it's not on Lombard Street anymore. But it's still...
How do they do it without all the twists and turns?
There's still twists and turns on the street. Lombard is not the only crooked street in the city.
Well, that's true.
It's just the most famous.
What street is it? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of the head.
Remember, email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. Let us know. And let me know that I'm not crazy because this was like 10 years ago that I went. But it was Lombard Street because you're standing on that hill. There's all these like nice houses.
I don't believe it. They closed the traffic.
It's brutal because it's not even like asphalt. It's literally just bricks. It's like brick paved. That road.
Any sort of pavement will give you road rash.
And the only rules are it has to have plastic wheels. So most of these are just big wheels, big wheel trikes. Like when you were a kid, that's what most of the people are riding. But then you even see like some. These crazy like longboards, then they put plastic wheels on them somehow. It's just nuts, and they like luge down. It's crazy. It's crazy standing there watching it. I couldn't imagine doing it. People were just slamming into other people. Anyway, remind me last week's trivia question.
The trivia question last week: who is the all-time postseason wins leader for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Who is the all-time postseason wins leader
for the wins leader.
California Angels? Well, let's see. We got Marcus in Santa Cruz says Troy Percival. That's what I was thinking, actually.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad guess, but no, that is incorrect.
Sorry, Troy. Okay, we got Jason in Inglewood says, Mark Langston. Yeah, I remember me some Mark. Yeah, Mark Langston. That's not bad. I don't know if they were the playoffs in the early 90s, though. I don't know. They might have been.
They might have been, but I don't recall.
Rod Carew. Come on, yeah.
The answer to this question, might give it
away.
Wait,
is that not right? It's not Mark Langston.
It's not Mark Langston.
All right, sorry, Jason. We got one more. We got House of Pain 84.
House of Pain 84. Wow, that's quite a handle.
Jump. Says Mike Witt. Oh, that's not bad.
Mike Witt.
That's not bad. Yeah. Going 80s again.
And again, not enough games.
He's probably one of the winningest, but I don't know about postseason winning it. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay, that's it. I don't even know.
Specifically postseason.
Marcus took my answer, honestly. I was just going to say personal. Well, then, I'm not up on my Angels trivia.
I can certainly give you a hint to lower, to make it a little bit easier for you to guess.
Okay.
All of the wins for this pitcher happened in one postseason.
Really?
Really.
I feel like I need some Jeopardy music right now. I don't know. I mean, I was going to go out on a limb and say Nolan Ryan, but
it's not Nolan Ryan either.
Well, I don't know. You suck, McBain! Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Francisco Rodriguez.
K-Rod.
Ooh. In 2002.
Wow, I almost forgot he was an Angel.
Mostly against the Yankees and the Giants. Won 5 games.
Wow.
No other Angels pitchers has more than 3 postseason wins.
Jesus. That was 02.
That was 2002,
yeah. The year they did it.
That was the year that they won.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, Percival, because Percival was the closer. So I guess K-Rod wasn't the closer yet.
He was the setup man.
That's how he got the wins.
Right.
Right, that makes sense.
With all those comebacks that they really had with that damn rally monkey.
You still have nightmares of that rally monkey,
don't you? Oh, my God.
Now I know,
I don't know about nightmares necessarily. Maybe violent fantasies of destroying it, but that's a whole another issue. But I understand that you have found a good question for us this week.
That is right. I have taken it upon myself this week to find a good trivia question. Now this one,
fantastic.
Yeah, this one stuck out because it almost seems impossible, but. Alas, it is not impossible. Who are the 2 pitchers to have 300 more strikeouts than walks, not counting intentional walks, in a season?
In a season?
Yes.
Not career.
I will repeat that. Who are the 2 pitchers in history to have 300 more strikeouts than walks in a season?
Wow.
That's it. That's all.
That is a fantastic question. I have a couple names come to mind right away that, you know, it could possibly be. But man, that's a short list of who could have possibly done that.
Only 2 have done it. That's right. It's pretty insane. So remember, email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. You can leave the answer on the comment section of the Podomatic website. On
Facebook. This
Facebook.
Yes, not Twitter, Facebook.
Twitter.
West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
300 more. That's just insane. So, yeah. I mean, it's like
300 more crazy. Strikeouts than walks.
That's just nuts in that's one season. I know, because when I first told you, you were like in a career.
Yeah.
Because that sounds a little bit more likely. But yes. Well, on that note, welcome back. This is our 1-year anniversary as well, so I'm going to go pour myself a beer. You should, too. You know what? You're probably already drinking a beer right now if you're listening to this, unless you're at work. Maybe you're brewing beer. Who knows? You know?
And if you are, give us a shout-out. We'd love to taste your creation. We're fans.
Right. That's right. From San Francisco, California, I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. And remember, baseball is life. The rest is just details.
Go watch some baseball.